Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is a strange week. We have baseball at home. We have off days, we think. And on Wednesday, we will be together at Fadley's. We will have the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs, have the Magic 8-Ball, one lucky batch of these left before we get into spring here. We're doing a whole month load of Maryland Crab Cake Tours. We're going to be at Costas next week. We're going to be at Coco's later on in the month. We'll be back at Cooper's North. We're going to be at the Beaumont this month. All of our sponsors, all of the people that keep us fed and happy here into the spring. It is opening day. Luke Jones joins us here. He and I were in Toronto. We were in Buffalo. We were in Baltimore. We've been watching what's going on in College Park, as well as the NFL owners meetings, which I have attended 13 of the last 16 years that are coinciding with Oriole baseball and opening day. Orioles split it on the road in Toronto. Luke and I were there for at least half of that over the weekend. We appreciate all of the social media feedback and the folks that we saw up north of the border. Luke, how was that the Toronto thing for you? I mean, I know you went with a Venezuelan gang member like me. You're shocked to get back in at the Peace Bridge, but we made it across it. You even got Niagara Falls, a number seven on the top tourist trap list, according to Huffington Post.
Yeah, how about that? As I said to you, Niagara Falls is very cool to see. I don't know if I personally would have ever planned a trip just to do that, but that's people. Other people would laugh about the fact that you go all the way to Toronto just to watch some baseball. But
Well, the
it was
fact that
good.
you are old enough to be my son, it felt very Clark Griswold. It felt very, look at that. All right, let's get across the border.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was a good trip. For the Orioles, it's a split. A split on the road against an AL East opponent. It's fine. There's nothing to be alarmed about in terms of the results per se, but
Dodgers are 5-0.
sure. Or you could be 0-4 like the Braves right now, which how about that with San Diego? But I think what my big takeaway from the weekend, other than just the opportunity to see Rogers Center for the first time in my life, which was cool. I mean, as indoor ballparks go, old Skydome has a little bit of sentimentality, I suppose. But I think,
Not for Bob Malacky, but that's another
well,
story.
yeah. But not just in a general sense. But I think you come away from the weekend not really feeling any differently about the starting rotation. Eflin was good, not a whole lot to write home about after that. Sagano had the makings of a decent outing, but has the cramping issue and leaves in the fifth inning. The offense was feast or famine. Yeah, they scored a lot of runs in the two wins, and they scored three runs in their two losses. And Friday night was a little bit different than Sunday in the sense that Friday they didn't have much traffic on the bases. Sunday they had their chances. That was a very winnable ball game, and they didn't do it. So I think the big takeaway from the weekend doesn't really have to do with the results. It has to do with the fact that Albert Suarez is now on the IL. Jordan Westberg did not play Sunday. Brandon Hyde did not disclose why, but said he was only available in an emergency situation, although he suggested he should be in there for the home opener. And then, really, the one we'll be keeping our eye on at least the next couple of days, Colton Cowser, a head first slide in the first base, which I know you're an old school guy, and I tend to be more on the old school side. There are a few instances where I really like a head first slide in the first base. I don't think that was one, and he
I
bent his
liked it
thumb
on
back.
Pete Rose in This Week in Baseball, and it wasn't second base. I think it was third base or first
Yeah,
base.
well,
Yeah.
I'm talking about first base
First base is
specifically.
insane, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, my dad would always
I
tell
mean,
me never
there
do
are
that.
some, other than a tag play, that's about the only time where I
Two outs,
really.
eighth inning, game six of a playoff game. Okay, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so
right?
he bends the thumb back. He did stay in the game initially, so you hope that's a sign that this isn't anything major, but he didn't bat in the ninth inning. So it's just more of the same, right? Spring training, health issues, health issues, health issues, and you get to the start of the regular season and now more health issues. And with Suarez, we'll keep an eye on that. Their pitching depth is what it is at this point in time. They already have Brian Baker and Matt Bowman both in their bullpen right now. We know about the rotation, but certainly you don't want to be missing Colton Cowser for a significant period of time. And we don't know, right? I mean, he was still getting checked out after the game. Hopefully, we'll have some clarity as the Orioles start this very brief. It's not even a homestand; it's just a home series, and then they're back on the road on Friday. But certainly, you don't want to be missing Cowser. So, At some point in time, it's
So
just.
bad news. You don't have any good news here other than 2-2, really. I mean, I don't. Is there anything you loved over the weekend? I mean, Westberg hitting home runs, Mullins hitting home runs, just in a general, Jackson Holliday getting himself going a little bit. Like, listen, you have a press pass. I don't. I have to be positive. They told me if I want to get my press pass back, I have to be more positive about the team. So, and not focus so much on the business and the empty seats they're eventually going to have this week. And how about this, dude? You want me to bitch about something on opening day? Happy opening day, everybody. I was with my dearest friend Mike Broach, and I do want to plug him a little bit because you finally got to see what he looked like when I put the pictures out. There was a young man I met in 1993. He was at that time, it turns out he was 9 years old, 8 years old, but he is 2 weeks older than my son, a year, 2 years, weeks younger than my son, a year younger than you. So he's your age, but I knew him when he was 8 years old. He used to come in. He was my first Luke Jones. I mean, no offense to Alan McCallum, it was before Alan. He was like the little baseball guy who would come into my studio and talk baseball with me in the 1990s. He lives in North Carolina now. He lives in Durham, North Carolina. And I always knew he was going to grow up to be like a hippie liberal professor, which is exactly what he looks like. His hair is almost as long as mine. He teaches down at UNC Greensboro, and he teaches, the good stuff, like law and order and international law and things like that, because he's traveled the world. And dude, I don't know anybody who knew more about baseball or loved baseball more 30 years ago, right? And he's going on his way in life and he likes baseball, but he likes a lot of other things, including his children. And I said to him, I'm like, dude, you watch the games, right? He's like, nah, we don't get the games in North Carolina. Like, it's not, the stream and this and that. And I'm like, dude, like, you're a baseball guy. You're an Oriole guy. They have taken, wow, I don't get it. Sometimes I get a week of the game of the week, or if they're playing the Braves or on TV, I'm like, I don't know what it's like to not live here and try to be an Oriole fan. My buddy John Keller, who was you were with him 4 months ago. He lives in Little Rock, Arkansas, the pride of Dundalk. Another federal government employee who's been threatened for his blue card. He doesn't get the games either. Like, I'm blown away, like, at how poor the sport has done with not just keep a little nasty nesters and having Mark Fine tell me that I'm not a real media member, but you are, but the fact that they can't get their games right for people who love the game and want the game. And Friday night, I was in Toronto. You went to the game. I spiked a blister on my heel, just trying to find the games as the season begins. If you want to get into the vibe, no one in the city of Toronto watched the game on Friday night. It wasn't on in any of the bars. It wasn't anywhere. Everybody was talking about 6-2 in the home, or 9-2 in the home runs, and like all that. I can't believe at how poor Major League Baseball has done, and we're one of now three teams that don't have an option at all. They lose fans every day on opening day. I mean, I got friends that want to follow the season because they are interested, and they don't have access to the games. It's insane, man.
Well, I'll push back a little bit on the out-of-market thing. That's actually the thing they do right with MLB TV. You pay for it and you get out-of-market games. Now, if you're living in North Carolina, though, I would assume
It's
that's still
territorial.
Masson territory.
It's
So
territorial.
short of getting Fubo, which, some people have gone that option. I've gone that option because I got rid of satellite TV over the off-season. Your options are limited. But if you're completely out of the market, MLB TV, when it doesn't go down like it did on Thursday afternoon, which I had a lot of people pointing that out to me on social media, generally speaking, that is actually one of the few products and things that I think baseball has gotten right. But for everyone who's in market, well, tough luck. It gets blacked out. So I hear you.
I'm just
I
saying, this is
absolutely
where
hear
you
you.
get on the train.
Sure.
This is where the movie
Sure.
starts, and you get in on it or you don't get in on it. You come to the games or you don't come to the games. You're
Sure.
into the soap opera, and I basically said this to Broach, and this is for anybody in the car today going down to the games, and we can break down this and that and talk about it. But to follow baseball, for me, to follow baseball is to know who's pitching tonight. And know who's in the lineup. You don't need to watch every game. You watch three games a week. You follow the highlights. Do what I did on Friday night. Watch the pitch cast. Fall asleep in the fifth inning. Wake up. You come in the room. Wake me up. And I look down on the pitch cast and I can see what's going on. You can even see the highlights. I mean, the Holliday hit the home run on Friday night. 5 minutes later, it's on my timeline. I get to see what it looks like, whatever. But they really made this difficult on me as a person who loves sports, who loves promoting sports and has been a part of this, but just in a general sense of like the arrogance of the access to their games is just, I don't know what to say. If there's anything I would say to Katie Griggs, I'd say you have a distribution and a thickness problem for the people outside of the people who buy your Kool-Aid. And I don't know where they're going to find the new people when, where's the game? Oh, ain't on tonight. You got to buy some service in order to watch the game, the second game of the season on Friday night. I don't know. I found it to be kind of a rude awakening. And especially when I was in Toronto and they took my press pass and like just all of that, I just found like, oh, Mr. Rubenstein, you're the same as Mr. Angelo. She's just a little different.
Well, I mean, in a general sense, I'd like to tell you that that'll get better, but all of sports are trending this way. I mean, there's going to be more streaming in the NBA's new TV deal that'll be kicking in. Football is already trending that way to the point where we have playoff games that are being shown on streaming services. So I don't know what to tell you on that front, other than I've said this, other than mate, perhaps a Gunnar Henderson contract extension, which again, we've talked about it, Boris Klein, all that different stuff. The biggest show of goodwill that the new ownership group could have made happen for 2025 would have been an in-market direct-to-consumer streaming option. The number of people that I've talked to, whether it's fans and interacting with people on social media, whether it's people that go to my church, all walks of life, people I know
How
that.
do old people find the games? I mean, I'm 56 and I'm not
I mean,
farting around with giving everybody my credit card. You know what I mean?
it's still
Like,
on DirecTV. Oh, you mean for the stream? Well,
I just mean they have a lot of older fans, just in a general sense, who are not technological
I
savvy
understand. I
people that
will also
don't want
say,
MLB at bat apps to come to game. Like, just all of the just little things they do that are restrictive or lead you into doors where you have to go down hallways to find things.
yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to write about it this week because I hear about it as much as you do.
Yeah.
Today it won't be anything. Everybody's going to the game. They're going to the game. They're going to drink. They're going to get drunk. They're going to half watch the game as they usually do. And then they might come back a couple times this year or not. But they don't have that 3.6 million fan base when you were a boy, Mike Broch was a boy, and my son was a, they're not dealing. They shouldn't be dealing from a level of arrogance. And that's where I get off on Katie Griggs and Mark Fine and how I've been treated in this radio station. And not quite frankly, me or you, how my audience has been treated, how a citizen has been treated. I'm offended. I'm wildly offended. And yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, just as a general, are we going to get them well? Because you and I spend a lot of time talking about on the field. And every time we talk about on the field, you start spending their money because they need more pitching, right? I mean, they do. Every time fans talk to you about them, they're when are you going to sign Gunner? When are you going to commit some money, Mr. Ruby? I'll take a selfie with you, but do you when are you going to spend some money? He spent a lot of money, you know, like Sugano. And I mean, they're up
Whether they
50%.
spent it well is up for debate,
Is
but
their
yeah.
payroll up 50% this year? It's more than that, right?
Let me,
They're in
I
the
haven't,
160s and they were in like the 90s last year, right?
I am looking it up right now because I want to be accurate for you. So their payroll is, and this is according to Kotz, which is on Baseball
And by the way, they
Prospectus.
added
It's,
$5.5 million last week just bringing in the pitcher, right?
yeah, with Kyle Gibson, it's, so it's looking like it's at 167
Wow,
million, which
that's a
is
big number.
middle of the pack.
That's the
And
most anybody's ever spent, right? That's the highest payroll in the history of the Orioles, right?
they were really close to that territory at the end of the Duquette
16.
era. They were really close to that. Now we can certainly debate how well it was spent, and you can debate how well it was spent this offseason. But you know, that's kind of where they were. And last year, let me pull it up. Like I said, I want to be accurate here. Last year, they were at 93 on opening day. Now, keep in mind, they added as the year went on. They picked up Eflin, some of the other, trade deadline acquisitions. But yeah, it's very sizable. There's no question about
It's almost
that.
doubled.
But at the same time, the bar was so, I mean, they were at the very bottom. They were there with Oakland just a couple years ago, really. But it's gone
But
up.
that's not the reason anybody's coming out and buying tickets today, specifically.
No.
The
No, I
reason they'll
mean,
buy tickets tomorrow, Luke, is because they saw the game last night and wanted to go tomorrow.
fair
And
enough.
their daughter or their nieces, in your case, are like, "Hey, Uncle Luke, I'd like to go to a baseball game. Don't you go to games?" Yeah, well, teach me baseball. Teach me baseball.
Sure.
One of the greatest scenes for me. You know how much I love Geddy Lee. I'm in Toronto on Thursday. I paid my $11 Canadian to get in. I'm walking, 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 which got me the blister. And Geddy is sitting down in row three behind home plate. Geddy had his grandson with him. And Geddy's a scorekeeper. Geddy had his. He has a book. Geddy's keeping score with the number two pencil. And like that part of baseball, and it doesn't need to be keeping score or whatever. But it even is like I'm in Skydome and I'm looking up at all of the scoreboards they had in there, and it's like the fifth inning, and I'm trying to say, hey, what did Holiday do the second time up? I'm looking at like the at bats, and they didn't even have it up. So I'm like, I got to keep score to even know what he did last time, because with all these scoreboards, it doesn't say grounded out to second and the fourth. Like even the signage and score, I'm trying to figure it out as a fan. I'm not trying to be bitchy about it today, but I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to say I have people around me everywhere who used to really love baseball, and I'm one of them. And they need to make me love it again. They need to make everybody love it again. They need to make the city love it again. And you know what they probably need? A guy like me to help them make people love it. And they don't even know it. And they've treated me like subhuman trash. They've refused to even get in a room with me. So I promote baseball. I promote Baltimore. I promote sports. I promote going to games. I promote watch the game today and let's talk about it with me tomorrow. So when they do a poor job, and it's been poor for 30 years, I think we'd all agree with that. They've done a lot of poor things here for 30 years. I would like to think these new people would be doing more than making bobbleheads and taking selfies and having their key Ivy League executives treat me like trash. I'd like to think it would get better than this, but it hasn't. And it's opening day, and I'm pissed about it, but not. I'm pissed on behalf of the community because these are not the steps they should be taking. Going to war with me, having people in North Carolina who love baseball not be able to get it, have people at your church come up to Luke, how do I get the games? What's going on, Apple TV? What are they doing? Like, so from a fundamental standpoint, I think opening day is a perfect day to talk about it because it will be full today and it will be 77 and it might rain, it might not, I don't know. First things first, they moved the game up. That was a great idea, especially if they get all nine innings in, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the question will be maybe they should have moved it up a little more, but half an hour, we didn't even send out the WMST text alert because I think, first of all tickets are electronic at this point, so
Everybody
you
got a
wouldn't get
text, right?
notification for that. The Orioles put it out on social. They talked about it during the game, all that. We retweeted it. We tweeted it. We posted the press release. So yeah, it was a good idea. We'll see if it was enough time. I mean, maybe they could have pushed it up to two, or maybe you just need to truncate your pregame introduction. That whole ceremony a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, everything you just covered, look, some of what you lay out there is the reality of non-NFL sports in 2025 and figuring out where your place in the relevancy of sports and the relevancy of how people consume and spend their.
Make it easy for me. That's all
Yeah,
I'm
so
asking.
there's that. So again, I come back to it's simplistic, and I would acknowledge, I'm sure they have some headaches in terms of carrier agreements with cable and satellite, with the Nats being part of Masson one more year. I fully acknowledge there's probably some complications that make it difficult, but
I'd like to hear Katie Greig
you're
say that to me and to everyone
sure,
else,
but
to
my
the
point with
fan
that,
base, you know,
but you know
literally.
what? Even with those complications, you're a billionaire. The owner's a billionaire.
Fix
Figure
it.
that out. Figure that out some way. Even if it has to be on a little more on the pricier side than $20 a month. Maybe it would have to be 30 this year just because you have headaches with Xfinity. Go down the list of
And that would
whoever.
really bang people out, and you better have a good team if you're char. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
Like at this point,
I
you
mean, they
better have a
better have a
good
good
team.
team, right? I mean, that's kind of, it's a non-starter at this point. If you don't, then yeah, I mean, a lot of this is not going to go all that far. But I mean, it really is just a matter of presenting a product that people want to watch. And look, As I've pointed out to you, and as we talked about even at Pizza John's less than 2 weeks ago, I mean, they've won 192 games the last 2 years. They've done well on the field. Now, it hasn't translated to October success, and we can certainly talk about that. And we've talked about it plenty with the Ravens in the wake of John Harbaugh getting another, a 3-year contract extension, where the Ravens, I've called them regular season royalty, but you do get to a certain point in time where people are like, hey, let's go. The idea isn't just to win a bunch of games in the regular season. You want to play deep into the postseason. So that's the next objective. We're going to see what the pitching's going to look like. You asked me, this was several minutes ago, you asked me about positives from the weekend. I thought Felix Bautista looked good on Saturday. I think Ryan O'Hearn has smacked the heck out of the ball, even with some results not going his way. You mentioned Holiday, you mentioned Jordan Westberg. I mean, it's not as though, they split. It was fine. But yeah, when you come home, and especially you're going to have this very brief 3-game set, it's going to be warm. There's this storms in the forecast. You have an off day. Thursday, Gunnar Henderson could be activated and play in the finale. I mean, he hit a home run in Norfolk on Sunday, so things are trending up with him. But this is your chance. I mean, these are the first couple snapshot opportunities for people to get out to the ballpark and like what they see. There's going to be a new sound system at Camden Yards, for example. I mean, for people who have for years told me, and believe me, I empathize. Sitting in the press box, I can't hear what the PA announcer says. I mean, it's brutal. So hopefully that's better in terms of a
Don't say
short
that out
term.
loud because they'll remove you.
Oh, they know that. They know Katie Griggs. I've heard her mention that fans have talked about the sound system being what it is. So. These are a lot of these things are incremental steps. A lot of these things are things that aren't going to bring people back in droves, but they're steps, and they're steps you need to take in the right direction. And the cumulative impact of taking positive steps, multiple positive steps, is you will bring people back and you will get more people interested. But as I've said, if there was one thing I could point to, if you had asked me a year ago, right? A year ago, David Rubenstein was doing the press conference. He was officially becoming the control person, all of that. If you had asked me a year ago, one thing the Orioles really would benefit from doing at that point, I would have said then a direct-to-consumer in-stream, in-market streaming option, and they still don't have one on opening day. Will they have one? Can they work something out even to do it at the All-Star break? I don't know. Or is it just going to be, sorry, tough rocks. You got to wait until 2026. I think that's a missed opportunity. And again, I'm sure there are headaches and hoops and financial complications as it pertains to the Nats and one last year with Masson in the way that it's constructed at the moment. But that doesn't mean you're not missing people in the process, if that's, if you're just throwing your hands up. So, that's something that for me is a miss. And I get it. They've
A
inherited
mess.
something that has been a mess. But if you have a messy kitchen, right? You have a messy house,
Get to work.
staring at it, looking at it doesn't make it
Do what I
clean.
do. Make a list and get to
So
work. It's what I do.
yeah.
You know what I'm
So
saying? Like, literally.
but that said, this is still an exciting club. I think, I haven't looked, I haven't actually done a count, but I do think they have a better promotional schedule this year than past years. I think they've beefed that up a little bit, even some giveaways during the week, which I think is something you and I've talked about a lot, where, even big market teams have done a lot of that in recent years, because
Well, that's an old school mantra, right? The old
everyone's trying to
school
draw
mantra
during the
of all
week.
the games is don't take a D game, a Tuesday night game against the Sacramento A's and try to make it a B game. Take a B game and try to make it an A plus. Take a Friday night where you're going to get 30 and get 45 instead of trying to take a Tuesday where you're going to get 8 and turn it into 14 because you're never going to get 35 on a Tuesday, theoretically, theoretically.
But that's also where, you can do a giveaway that's just, something that's on the smaller side, but it's still a token to say, hey,
Well, the thing they always did was a $5 night on Monday night or Tuesday night to get people out, the
Yeah, it
budget
was
night
bargain night
or
for
a
years.
bargain
Yeah,
night,
I would
drinking
take
night,
advantage of
kids
that a
night,
lot
student
as a kid.
night. I mean, they were doing the student nights on Friday nights for a long time, and they had 20,000 drunk kids in the upper deck and ID people going around trying to shake people like you down 20 years ago. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be at the ballpark as a WNST Baltimore Positive Media member. I'm going to be here as a Dundalk schlub that's owned a radio station for 30 years and done radio for 35 years and has now been really offended by Katie Griggs and Mark Fine and David Rubenstein. So, and once I get offended, I probably don't get unoffended, but that's okay. I'm here. We will continue to talk about them, watch them, opine about them, and fairly and reasonably discuss the Baltimore Orioles because I've been doing that here for a long, long time. It's a lot harder and harder to be fair and reasonable when you lose 100 games every year. When you're winning and when the level of expectations up and when you've raised the bar, raised the payroll, raised the voice of leadership, and come take a selfie with me, and I'm going to have a bobblehead and all of that. You know, run the team like a real team. Don't ban media members. Don't give people to run around. Figure your fans out. Figure out how they want to come to the ballpark, and do better. I don't know what else to say. Do better. I mean, they've had 6 months of the off season. Honestly, Luke, I haven't heard or seen much of them in 6 months, and now they roll out the carpet and it's opening day. I mean, they really. And this is where you and Shining got nasty with them 2 weeks ago about their off season and stuff. And I've been more like. From a roster standpoint, I am patient given their. I've been the most patient. So to have their PR guy say that I've, you know, said things or done things or haven't, I've been positive about them on the field because I do believe they did spend a lot of money. I didn't believe they had $250 million worth of pitcher to go get. I'll hear all of that, but now they got to go play baseball on a day-by-day basis. And Suarez is injured. We haven't seen Henderson yet. God bless him. I mean, without him, I don't think they're as good as we'd like to think they are unless he's back and good. Hey, Rutschman, a couple days into this,
He's
Holiday,
looked
a couple
good.
days into this, Westberg before the injury or whatever the thing was on Sunday, they're stars, and Kowser's got an injury now too, but they're star players. They're first round draft picks or guys that have played like first round draft picks, the guys that are going to make $100 million or more playing baseball. All five of those guys are going to make $100 million playing baseball. They just are, based on what I saw Tony Taters get and like all that. They're all going to make a lot of money. This is the point where they have them all, that early Cubs period that, you know, that they can really make a movement here while the Yankees have injuries and stuff. But this has been a sort of a rattling start to the season to not have a full complement of players. And we talk about this in football all the time that Harbaugh, who just got his contract for life, that on opening day for the football season, you'd like to think that like Lamar's going to be playing. You'd like to think that I saw Derrick Henry running up the hill with the chains. I'd like to think that their star players are going to be on the field. The Orioles don't really have that going on right now, it position or pitching, that they've had attrition and it's opening day. It's not even April, dude. And they're sort of playing with one hand tied behind their back, certainly without Henderson today. But this hasn't been a good 6 weeks for them since they got the series. It really hasn't been. 2-2. I'm not judging the record. I'm just saying they'd like to have their full roster. And I don't know if they're ever going to get there. They never really got there last year. They did for a week or two with Bradish and the pitching that they had. But I don't know that the vision that Mike Elias had for the team is going to be realized where they get the full complement of their players healthy.
Two words, torpedo bats. That's the I mean, you made mention of the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees over the weekend and hitting home runs, and your boy Nestor Cortez giving up three home runs in the first three pitches of his outing. But no,
Bronx generosity.
I hear what you're saying, and I think it's important to recognize. I mean, Gunnar's going to be back this week. You know, whether it's Thursday, whether it's Friday. I mean, he's looking very close to ready at Norfolk, and we knew it wasn't going to be long. I mean, this was a matter of, in fact, I would. Another takeaway, and I included this in my 12 Orioles thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. You can check that out as I kind of recap. I did one on opening day, and then I recapped the last three games of the series over the weekend. But you know, they did with Gunnar Henderson what they probably should have done with Jorge Mateo is put him on the IL and let him go get at bats at Norfolk, and because I mean Mateo hasn't hit and he made a couple bad throws on Sunday anyway. Look, you're going to deal with injuries over the course of a season. And you and I talked about the pitching so much, starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching, and then the bullpen after Kittredge went down with the knee surgery. But, you know, we talked about this apparent strategy from Mike Elias of trying to build, kind of this bottom heavy rotation of guys that are innings eaters and durable, all of that. But their depth is already being tested. I mean, Suarez is on the IL now, and he was in the pen. I get it, but if something happens to one of your five starters right now, Grayson Rodriguez is just starting to throw bullpens. Kyle Gibson's at least a couple more weeks away. So, Chase McDermott and Trevor Rogers started the
The
year on the
Kyle Gibson
IL.
thing's fascinating to me because there is a veteran guy who had every intention to pitch and every intention of getting paid. Why isn't he ready to pitch? Why isn't he more, you know what I mean? Like,
Well, there's only so much you can do, though. I mean, he was throwing bullpens, but I mean, how do you throw to live hitters when you're not around, if you're not with a team? I guess you could try to throw to some high school kids in your
where are the
local
Homestead
community.
homies when you need them, right?
But you're still going to need a guy to ramp up.
I
And I'm
just
not
would
saying that.
think a guy like that could ramp up quicker and would have been much more ready to step in and pitch on opening day, being a veteran guy who's got a lot of money, he's looking for a lot of money, that he could get himself ready to be a week or two away from pitching, not, hey, I got to start spring training again, see in May.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope that that's not, I don't
I
know
don't.
the guy. And again, I don't have a press pass, you do, but like I know him from the outside and I thought, they signed a guy like that. I'm a little shocked a week later that he's just not up and available for a couple of innings today because I just thought he's a major league pitcher who wasn't injured, right? I mean, he's not working back
Yeah,
from
but
something, right?
that's how guys get injured, though. That Jordan Montgomery was a great example of that last year. I think back to Alex Cobb. Yeah, the year where everything burned down for the Orioles in 18. Remember, they signed him late. He needed a little bit of time. He came up, got hurt pretty quickly, wasn't good. Like, so I hear what you're saying. There's merit to that, but at the same time, you're talking about someone in their mid 30s approaching their late 30s, and Gibson acknowledged he didn't know if the phone was going to ring. You get to that point in your
Well, you
career,
get
you're not
ready for the phone
positive.
to ring. Joe Flacco could go play
But he
four
was.
quarters
I
right now
mean,
because he thinks like that, you
well,
know?
but this is why he's going to be ready at some point in the next few weeks, not 2 months from now, right? I mean, these guys do a lot of ramping up and all that. So I hear what you're saying, but you also need to be smart because you just gave him 5 million. You throw him out there before he's ready, then you might as well flush that $5 million
Well,
down
if
the
he's
toilet.
throwing in some high school and hurts himself March 15th, and he
Then he
can't
doesn't get
pitch,
signed at all, right?
right?
Yeah.
But I just.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I have questions about that as a journalist, as a fan, just sort of like that. It's a little shocking to me. That's all. That when I saw him signed, I'm like, good. That dude will be. That dude ain't gonna miss a beat. That dude's a pro. He's gonna be ready to go. I'm just a little shocked. Maybe not today, but like that he'd be in Norfolk doing three innings today, and like they'd be
Yeah.
really getting him ready to go because I don't know if you know this, Luke. They need pitching. They got guys hurt right now, and
Yeah.
that's the reason they signed him, was to be ready. And I'm. That part flusters me a little
Well,
bit.
I would also say, in fairness, and I know he said this down in Sarasota after they signed him, the flu went through his family,
Oh.
and that actually they had actually had some contact with him. I want to say it was 2 weeks before they signed him, so they had checked in with him, and then they checked in with him again, and his whole family was down for the count, as many people were this winter, with all kinds of different stuff going around.
If you got kids, everybody's sick.
So I think, in all, and I'm not saying that completely erases your question, and that it's a valid question. I think that threw a monkey wrench into it a little bit,
I think he
but
knew all along if he was going to be on a team on opening day, it would behoove him to be
yeah.
sort of kind of ready
And
to pitch
and
and
like I
not say,
said,
oh, it's February 10th. I'll see you in May. You know, like
and again,
that's a little shocking. That's
right,
all.
and again, to be clear, this wasn't a guy who hasn't picked up a baseball in 3 months, but yeah, how much do you do? How much is too much?
When are
How
you going to
much?
see him in a game, Luke? It's March 31st. What did he tell Elias last week when he signed him? April 20th, May 1st. Like, when is it going to
I
be, do you
think
think?
you just, to me, you just gave the range that I would have said. Somewhere between the 3rd week in April, which I think that would probably be ambitious. I think if that happens, he's probably on a pitch count. But May 1st, if he's not pitching by then, I'm really asking some questions then. Because keep in mind, I mean, they signed him, less than a week before the start of the season. So we're talking about someone, not even a 1st week into camp, Ubaldo Jimenez, Yovani Gallardo kind of a signing. So I hear you. But yeah, I mean, at this point, man, you need to keep guys healthy. I mean, it sounds like the Sagano cramping thing was more of a hydration issue. You hope that's all it is. He spoke after the game and said that he dealt with that a little bit in Japan. So hopefully it was just a matter of some nerves and he was sweating a little bit more, all that. But yeah, they can't afford to lose anyone else. I mean, we're already talk like I said, we're already talking about a couple guys in the pen who you really didn't want in the pen. Although I'll say, in fairness, Brian Baker's looked really good. I will say that he looked very good his last outing in Toronto. But man, you don't want to be losing anyone else at this point. I mean, we're not even the tax day, and they're already dipping into reserves and who's at AAA and claiming guys and trading, acquiring pitchers for cash considerations and all that.
And they're
So,
spending money that
yeah.
they never would have spent or had to spend. Well, they had it. I mean,
They had it,
they had
sure.
it. Yeah, I mean,
We,
crying
again, we.
poor for John Angelos is something that,
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
these
yeah.
networks have done it, and Jeff Barker did it at the Sun, and everybody, boo, $2 billion, and they couldn't buy a relief pitcher when they're in the stretch 2 years ago. It's insane.
And I will say, because you asked me and I had mentioned it, I 2017 their payroll was $164 million,
I knew it
which
was in the, it was
was
above 150. I knew
they
that.
the in 16 and 17 they were ninth and 10th in Major League Baseball payroll. So now, were they spending more than they had at that point in time in terms of where they were with Masson and the legal dispute, litigation, all that? Yeah, probably. But and we could certainly talk about whether that was money well spent at that point in time. But yeah, they've been in this territory. They're back to that territory. And the question will be, what is the ceiling over these next few years as these young guys get into arbitration or making more money, as you're trying to augment, whether it's long-term deals or more one-year contracts for pitchers? I mean, you got to pay them. I mean, even Charlie Morton, who did not look very good on Friday night, he's making $15 million. So we'll see how it plays out. But there's still lots I like about this team. But man, the pitching, it feels like the threads are already starting to break on the rope, and it's just like, all right, this is
It's a little early in
alarming.
the campaign for that.
Yeah. So just settle in, play baseball, get through a handful of games without anyone being hurt, and just kind of settle into a and let the season breathe a little bit. And I think if they can do that, I think they'll be okay. It doesn't mean they're going to be a 100-win outfit, but I still think they're plenty good enough to be a playoff team. And as you have pointed out over and over and over, see what happens as we approach the trade deadline in terms of more pitching or what moves they could potentially make.
Anything on the Red Sox while they're here? I mean, we're not going to have six chances to talk about them this year. I didn't even call Dan Shaughnessy or Bob Ryan this week, but
Yeah.
anything on them?
I mean, a tough start for them, but lots of expectations. I think if you kind of look, they've kind of been the trendy pick for the AL East in the wake of the Cole and Luis Gil injuries for the Yankees. We're going to see Garrett Crochet on Wednesday. He's going to go against Eflin, so that'll be a nice pitching matchup. Tanner Houck goes in the finale, and two lefties in Cade Povich and Sean Newcomb for the home opener. But obviously, Bregman was one of the biggest additions anyone made in the AL East.
Yeah, they did things in the
He
offseason
did.
to augment, and that makes them more exciting to their fan base,
It
whether it is
does.
or isn't.
But I would also say they're also coming from a lower place than where the Yankees and the Orioles are, for example. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, the Devers thing was definitely weird for them in terms of him wanting to play third base and it being obvious, eyeball test or metrics that Bregman's a better third baseman. With Devers, Devers wasn't healthy over the course of the spring. So, they've had some drama. They had players commenting on who should make the roster and who shouldn't, just kind of stuff like, can you imagine Jordan Westberg's saying, trying to tell Michael Elias, indirectly telling Michael Elias publicly how to do his job? I mean, just some weird things in their camp, but hey, they're talented and the Orioles need to play good baseball and they need to play a crisper brand of baseball. I thought the defense at times was a little sloppy over the weekend. So look, it's the first week of the season. Again, as I say to you, good or bad, you kind of let it breathe for a little while, but gotta stay healthy. We don't want to be sending out any more WNST Baltimore positive text alerts that are bad news. I want to send out the one that Gunnar Henderson is being activated, but certainly don't want to be hearing any more, and kind of bracing to see what happens with Calzer and see just how serious the shoulder issue is for Albert Suarez.
It's interesting, you know, with the banning of me by the local sports teams that we're not covering the NFL owners meetings right now. Sashi Brown's down there mouthing off for whoever wants to hear him. John's got his 3 years. So there's Ravens news, there's going to be NFL news. It is a big week here, obviously March Madness and the whole Kevin Willard stench on the backside of that. But it is opening day, and on Wednesday we're going to celebrate with crab cakes. I'm going to have the Maryland Lottery scratch-offs giveaway from the Magic 8-ball batch, my final batch of that. I'm going to get some Monopolies to give away before it's all over so I can get a community chest. Ravens are going to be doing things the next couple of weeks, so we'll be monitoring them as well. And the Red Sox are in town Wednesday night, 6:35 game. We're going to be at Fadley's all afternoon talking baseball. Next week, we're going to be at Costas, and much love to everyone at Costas. I spent most of the day Sunday in Dundalk at Connolly Funeral Home across from my high school, honoring Costas Triantafylos. Just a lot of tears shed in Dundalk this week. So I haven't had a lot of chance to talk about Mr. Costas, but we're going to be there next week. We will talk about him and a lot. There was a lot of conversation on my timeline over the weekend as well. So it's a baseball season. It's an NFL owners meeting week. The Terps are in trouble and the Orioles are home. See you down at Fadley's. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy opening day. We're 2-2.